DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubble-wubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James. I'm joined by two amazing people who will now pause awkwardly.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Jim.
Yay. It's almost like we practice it. Jim. Going to start the show by congratulating you, brother.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, thank you.
I beat you.
Now everything's all fucking screwed up.
It all started with you taking a piss.
Which, by the way, listen to the end of the show. I'm including that wonderful audio.
Of course. If anyone wants to analyze the splash to make sure that my prostate is still working perfectly, I will also include my email information.
Doesn't sound like he's got a lot of power in that.
Yeah, just kind of dribbling.
Yeah, it's like an old man drooling.
I have lost some pounds per square inch. I've noticed that much.
The velocity is not as strong.
No, sadly.
It's no longer a power washer.
And James said something that I've heard, I think, my entire life, and I am so just over hearing, like, oh, if you shake it more than twice, you're playing with it, yada yada. Why is it that only men have that to deal with? Like, if you're hanging out with a bunch of people and a gal's like, you know, I have to go, you know, I don't know, like, sort the pearls or whatever the fuck it is girls do when they go take a piss. Why can't I then equally say, you know, if you wipe more than twice, I'm thinking about it? Is that weird?
No, stopping you from saying it.
Okay. Well, it's just that whole, like, you know, if you shake it, yeah, that's been such
can
an
Can I be
old
there the first time you
for,
use that? Because
you know,
I think that's going to give you a lot of really awesome, weird looks.
Yeah. Yeah, I want video proof of the first time you say that to people.
Okay. I'm on it.
Why are you taping everything, Jim? This is really weird.
And you're staying so hydrated. I don't understand.
But no, congratulations to Jim. He was you got a nice acceptance letter.
Yes.
It's true. I've been
accepted at death's door.
I've been yes. Well,
ushered
not
in
for
more
some
like
time. No, I've actually been accepted into Thaddeus Stevens Technical Institute for learning about TIG welding, T-I-G welding.
Now, for those of us who are stupid, i.e. me, explain what TIG welding is.
I'll be welding tails onto Tigger dolls so that they may bounce and do all what a Tigger does,
okay.
T-I-double-ger.
That's good, because that's exactly what I thought it was.
That's pretty much as much as I know about it as well. It's known as production welding, and that's about as far as my knowledge base goes. So I'll be going into this a complete welding virgin.
But soon you will come out being able to weld works of art.
Yes, I will become out a whorish welder of the world. I'll be well informed in the ways of putting metal together. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's a 5-week class, and then after that, there's the world's my oyster because there's a lot of welding opportunities here in Lancaster and the surrounding areas. So not just that, but I've also got my car back. So now instead of being a complete and utter disappointment as a man and having to ask to borrow my mom's car every time I need to go someplace, I now have my own personal vehicle back. It's up and running. It is a thing of beauty, and I am so goddamn thankful. You don't realize just how dependent you are on your car. For those of you who have a car, I know James, you both have a car. You and your wife have your own separate vehicles. Samantha, I'm assuming you also have your own personal vehicle.
I do have my own personal vehicle. I just paid it off this year.
Congratulations.
So now go out and get into a horrible accident.
It's 2 months since I paid it off. No accident yet. Knock on wood.
Do you have full coverage?
Yes.
Excellent. So, absolutely. If any, you know, non-life-threatening, you know, any kind of, you know, accident like that, just something run-of-the-mill, you know, slide into a school bus or something like that. Just find something, and you get a nice little payday, and then you can go out and shop for a new car. It's the circle of automation.
Thank you. I like my car.
What kind of car do you have?
I have a 2012 Scion TC Zeus. It's one of their limited edition yellow ones. There's only 2,200 of them.
Excellent. So it's a collector's item, Jim.
Much like my 2004 Buick Rendezvous, gunmetal gray.
Ooh.
Which is literally. I have not been shot at yet. So.
Wrong neighborhood will take care of that.
If you knew anything about where I lived, you would know that that's actually not an uncommon thing. I am lulled to sleep most nights by the sound of gunfire, accompanied by police sirens. Kind of like the scene from Big when Tom Hanks has to stay in that hotel overnight for the first night and he's freaking out. That's kind of what I listen to nightly, and it's almost like white noise at this point.
Can't go to sleep without it.
No. If I go camping, I have to bring an audio copy of the movie Colors and play that in the background. So the sounds of L.A. gunfire and police activity will help me get to that healthy REM sleep that I so desperately need. But I got my car back. This was a bit of a fucking pain in the ass because I got the first alternator. Turns out it was not the right alternator for this particular make and model. It had to be the one that I got was for the Rendezvous with the tow package. So I had to tried to trade that part back in for the other alternator, which is a less powerful alternator. Turns out that you get a core charge when you buy certain automobile parts. For those of you who don't know too much about car parts, I guess the precious metals inside can still be utilized for, you know, various other things. So for the first alternator that I had, the core charge was like $30. Tried to bring that one in to get the actual part that I needed. For a less powerful alternator, the core charge was actually more expensive. I'm not quite sure how that worked. So it was this whole pain in the fucking ass process. Finally get it, the right part, get everything taken care of, get the part installed, the car works, all lovely, awesome all the way across the board. The check that was used to pay for the part was stapled to the original receipt. And so when I went to take the part back to get the core refund, I gave them the receipt. I tore off the check, put it in what I thought was my pocket, and then I walked out of the establishment, got into my car, drove home, got out of the car, and realized that it is nowhere to be found. So I tore my car apart, looked all the way around, called the place, asked if it had fallen out anywhere in the vicinity of the register or the parking lot. The clueless people there were like, we don't see no check anywhere, but don't worry, nobody can do anything with the check. And I'm like, well, actually, no, they can do a lot of things with the check. And the person's like, well, no, if they wanted, they can deposit money in the account. And I'm like, oh my God, I weep for the future. It's clear that you do not have a fucking checking account or understand how one works.
Yeah.
No, actually, like, well, they're like, they can't do anything without the signature. I'm like, well, first of all, the signature is on the check. The name, the address, the, you know, all the pertinent information is on this check. I kind of need that back. So I drive all the way back to the car parts store, and I go inside. I'm looking for it outside. I can't find it anywhere. And then, like a master detective, like Batman, some might say. I tested, I licked my finger, and I checked which direction the wind was blowing. And I noticed it was blowing from my left to my right, so I turned to my right, and I started walking. And sure enough, about 30 yards from the front door, there laying on the ground, unmolested, untouched by human hands, except for my own, was the check. So I was able to recover it. there was much rejoicing, and yeah, I could actually, because it was like this moment of great joy getting the car back and getting the refund and getting this whole nightmare behind me, quickly followed by the loss of the check, so I was just fucking terrified. But luckily, everything kind of worked out in the end.
You, sir, are a Batman.
Yeah. It just thoroughly floored me that the person I was talking to on the phone, who was like a teenager person, this is probably like one of their first jobs, the fact that they knew nothing of how an actual checking account works. They just know that they open up an account, they get a little plastic card, and that's where the money lives, somewhere deep inside that card. You know, and that's the only way that information can be exchanged and or for goods and services. You know, I don't know if you guys had this in school, but we actually had a full class in math class all about how to use a check, you know, all the important parts of a check, how to, you know, keep tabs on the money in your account. And then we went as far as we were all given like a fake amount of like we were all given like $500 in imagination cash. And then we were supposed to open up the newspaper to the stocks page, to the NASDAQ. And we were supposed to purchase various fake stock and sort of chart to sort of see how much money we made at the end of the semester. Did you guys ever have to do anything like that?
No, never did that. I did have the check cashing class, you know, all the working parts of the check. I had that in math class, and then I had it in an economics class.
Yeah, that was usually where those would have, the economics class would be. I think that's probably where it was that I had to do that. How about you, Samantha? You seem like you're knowledgeable and or have your shit together.
That's funny, but sweet that you
sounds can be deceiving.
You broke up a little bit. What was the question again?
Oh, it was just that. Had you ever had to take a class, either in economics or in math, where you had to, you know, use fake money to buy stocks and sort of chart the growth or loss?
We never did any of that. I didn't have to do that. Probably should have, but no.
Yeah.
I'm also like, how much younger than you guys? Shit was online when I went into school.
Oh, well, Lottie, fuck. Yep, and you just wait until the whole internet crashes, and we're thrown back into the dark ages, and only those of us with working knowledge of checking accounts will be the ones to survive.
Those of us who can remember.
I work for a bank. I have plenty of working knowledge of checking accounts.
Well, that's
yeah,
good.
She knows how to screw the system into her favor. Come on.
Duh.
She'll be fine.
So that was pretty much my week. How about you guys? What went down the past 7 days?
Nothing much on my end. Samantha, anything exciting, interesting?
We had a lot of stuff going on. Oh my gosh, the weekend was kind of a blur. Friday I left work early because we had a show Friday night at festival.
I'm not hearing anything at this
moment. None of that.
What? Can you hear me now?
There it is.
I can hear you now, yeah.
Oh, that's weird. Okay, so anyway, Radio Hour will do off-cycle shows every now and again, so we'll do festivals and
when you're not menstruating.
Say again?
We did what called ComFest. What? Dicks.
Oh, this is going to be one of those fun shows. Where
yeah.
As soon as someone says something, it just the audio cuts out. And so we're just like, what was that? Repeat that?
Eh?
Say again?
Sonny, what's that?
Not another buffering podcast.
We had a show. Went hung out with a friend. I played hooky from work today. I might do it tomorrow.
It must be nice, just being able to, like, bag work at will.
Well, I have lots of sick days. and I don't use them that often, so every now and then. Sometimes you just need an extra day.
Sometimes a cold comes on.
Yep, that old brown bottle flu will come up out of nowhere.
It's no one else's business. Is it, like, okay, the invention of texting is the greatest thing ever, because you no longer have to fake sounding sick to your boss, you just send a message.
True.
Yeah.
Well,
we,
I remember,
we have a lot to say on that.
Various jobs where...
Okay, then.
We didn't hear you.
I start hearing people, and then it just sort of fades away, and then I don't know if anyone is...
Yeah, James. Well, James faded away. Jim, I could hear you.
Okay. No, you're right. Like, it is so much easier now to call off of work than I can remember back in the day. You'd have to have a full backstory and witnesses and evidence and...
Doctor's
notes. You know. Yeah, like the Ferris Bueller's Day Off, like Mythos, really was like a training video for how to get out of any kind of real responsibility. You had to have a fake body double. You had to have audio, video decoys, disguises, you know, fake voices. There was this whole menagerie of things. You couldn't just text, not feeling good, won't be in today, sorry, bro, send, and then that's it.
And yeah. Depending on your job, you don't even have to do that, because your sick days are your right to take. It is no one's business. You don't have to tell them anything. I'm using a sick day. That's all that you need.
Well, that might be the way at your job, though. I've had somewhere to take even so much as one day off. You had to have a doctor's verification.
Well, were those allotted sick days that you had,
yeah,
or no?
Those were allotted sick days.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's your right to use them.
Yeah, personal time was different. Personal time, you could sort of use that. But even that, you couldn't sort of abuse, even if you had a bunch of it sort of saved up, you couldn't save up a shit ton and then just be like, oh, I'm just going to take the next 3 weeks off because, you know, I have the ability to, you know. It'd be like, you know, maybe one day out of a two-week period you could use a personal day for. But some jobs that I've had where, you know, even if you were legitimately ill, you had to go and have a doctor's note and be able to present that. Like, I mean, I'm sure it doesn't go in any kind of a fucking folder. It's just your manager, your supervisor just being a hard ass.
Yeah, it depends. Like, my first position within the company that I'm with was just a hot mess, and it's turned from a hot mess to a complete steaming pile of shit, because it's just been horribly managed. But yeah, it was, if you had a sick day, you got what was called an occurrence, and then if you got enough of those, you could be fired, even though your sick days are yours to do with what you will or what you want. You're allotted them. You are legally allowed to have them, and you cannot be punished for taking a sick day like that. But you know, and every state's a little different too, so I don't know if, like, maybe, you know, but whatever laws are within that state. But yeah, it was really ridiculous. So we finally, I think that's been done away with since, because I'm not going to get in trouble because I have 102 degree temperature. Go F yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, but now that I'm in like a salaried position and a little bit higher, and my manager and I are pretty similar, we're just like, whatever, just give us the paycheck. You know, if you're not, it's get your work done and go home.
Yeah.
You know, just get your work done, go home.
Well, and I know where...
As long as you meet your deadlines, they don't care. And I'm like, yes, that's great. So.
I know in situations like with James working in radio, even if you are ill, you know, even unless you are the host of the show, you almost will never take a sick day, because, you know, there's just so much responsibility, so much to do as a producer slash on-air personality.
Oh, my thing is I just don't trust anyone else to do right. what I do. and the thing is like, I know people are capable of doing it, but it's just like, it's not going to get done the way I do it. And in my current situation, since I've recently just changed companies within the last 6 months, and there's no one to cover me. Like, if I get sick, if I get pneumonia, yeah, there's no one to cover me, and I have to go in. And I've you know, it was that's a sad real pain, yeah, in the butt when I took vacation earlier this year. And the person who covered me is since not able to do that anymore. So, like, I mean, it's, I got a day off coming up, and I'm like wondering who they're going to get to cover me. But, you know, it's just, it's, mm-hmm, it's a mess. You know, if I get sick, that's it. I've got to be on my deathbed before I call in. And that's just a kind of a personal choice. You know, I could take days off and stuff, but I just don't.
Well, you also love what you do.
Yeah, well, there's that too, yeah.
You're also passionate about what you do. But everyone runs the risk of burning out, no matter how much you enjoy what you do or not.
Yeah, and that's why, so, you know, I monitor myself pretty well to know.
Self-care is so important.
Yeah, I monitor myself pretty well to know, like,
that's good.
I need a day off. I need to get away for a couple of days. And, you know, the bonus is I just started getting weekends off, so that definitely helps.
That's good. That's awesome. Yeah, it's tough. Like, as much like I'm good at my job, I get all my shit done, I meet all my deadlines, so I don't feel that. And this is just what was trained into me as a kid and throughout the military is you show up. Doesn't matter how you're feeling. You show up, you're always, And then it took years of people being like, and one friend in particular was always like,
wow, Samantha, your audio just went to crap.
I'm just going to stop talking.
Well, now you sound good.
Well, it started off strong, yeah.
Yeah, and then it just, like, faded.
It started off
like
strong,
were,
and it just kind of, like...
like you were losing signal.
Well, there was so much, like, lag with when James was talking. Like, you were cutting yourself off.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I was like, wow, I never heard someone cut themselves off before.
Right,
This is. I'm just going to call this show the show the internet didn't want to happen.
That was perfect because we couldn't understand you.
Oh, man. Well, I do have good news. We did get this show actually got 3 plugs on Thursday on local radio here in Portland because I stepped up and did movie reviews last week.
Very nice.
It was my first attempt.
What'd you review?
I reviewed Jurassic World 2 and The Incredibles 2. And I'd like to think that because of my review, Jurassic World kicked ass at the box office this week.
Really? $150 million is kicking butt? Really?
For Jurassic World 2, yeah.
Maybe talk... For anything in the Jurassic franchise, that would be a success, I would say. It has been, they've been beating that horse to death. Like the first three, the very first Jurassic Park was amazing. You know, I thought it was phenomenal. But then the next two with Sam Neill and everything else, it was just like, ugh, just. Let it go extinct, please, for the love of God. And then they kept bringing it back.
Hit it with a meteor.
Yeah. let this franchise melt it down into oil so that we can, you know, power our vehicles and drive around and go see other movies instead. But with the addition of Chris
Pratt.
What's his name? Pratt. Yeah, no, it's like, it's not Chris Hemsworth. It's not Chris
Farley.
Evan. Yeah. Yeah. Chris Farley. Yeah. No, I would go see that movie. I would go see that movie. They find the bones.
The
of
dinosaurs
Chris
are running free in a van down by the river.
So hold on. There's an excavation. Maybe put this in the future a little bit. And they come across this graveyard. And they find these unidentifiable bones. Turns out it's Chris Farley's bones. So they get Jeff Goldblum to come out and they find a way to clone and bring back Chris Farley.
David Spade would have to be in there somewhere. They were besties.
Of course. Yes. Ooh, or how about this? The bones of Chris Farley and David Spade found together, and there's a mix-up, so there's
Spooning.
This hybrid. Yeah, this Farley-Spade hybrid clone comes out. I go see that fucking movie.
He just knocks on people's door, tries to make them laugh, and then you're like, oh god, this is horrific.
It's worth a shot.
You can combine the titles of Tommy Boy and Joe Dirt and call it Tommy Dirt.
Or Joe Boy.
Joe Boy.
Well, what were your thoughts of Jurassic World 2? Jurassic
honestly, Planet, Jim, galaxy. they kind of mirrored what you were saying. My thought, my official review of it was, if you've ever had a really good chocolate chip cookie, this movie is like that chocolate chip cookie. It's not gonna be any better than the last chocolate chip cookie you had. It's gonna be exactly the same. And the movie really did it. Number one, I like the movie, but it's the same beats of every other Jurassic World or Jurassic Park movie. It's like, ooh, dinosaurs, look, oh, I've never seen a dinosaur, oh, suddenly they're free, oh, shit. You know, I mean, it's exactly that.
Let's have a Jurassic Park movie where everything just goes smoothly.
Everything goes right.
That'd be really funny.
Life finds a way to do what it's fucking supposed to do, and everyone just goes home happy. No one gets squished or eaten, you know, nothing comes out of the woodwork or whatever. Or just go the completely other realm with it. I know they're toying with this idea, and I could put money down right now that says sometime within our lifetime we will see a Jurassic Park movie where it's dinosaurs in fucking space.
That's
there's
called
some
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who?
Who?
Thank you, James. Thank you.
Then you need to make a fucking movie then. You need to make a Doctor Who, like, theatrical release. Have they?
To my knowledge, no.
Okay.
You said that like you just won the argument.
Okay.
I wasn't quite sure. I'm like, was there one? No, we'll get Dwayne the Rock Johnson to play the Doctor. You know, and his TARDIS will be voiced. His TARDIS can be voiced by Gilbert Gottfried.
Shut up and take my money!
My bigger interest was actually in Incredibles 2, because I, much like just about everybody else, desperately have been waiting for a sequel to The Incredibles, because I'm pretty sure almost every other movie except for like A Bug's Life got at least one sequel. Except for The Incredibles, and there was nothing wrong with it. There was no controversy as far as I knew. They just kept, you know, pushing it back and pushing it back. It wasn't like Craig T. Nelson wasn't available because of all the other projects he was working on. But what was your overall reaction to, without giving too much away, Incredibles 2?
The same as Incredibles 1, in that it was the best superhero movie out.
Excellent.
It was fantastic. It was worth the price of admission just to see. Honestly, the movie kind of hinges on Baby Jack-Jack. And without giving too much away or you know, pointing too much, the story doesn't focus on the baby, but he is the focus of the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, every time he's on screen, you're going to laugh your ass off.
I love that Excellent. Baby.
And there's a sequence kind of not middle of the movie, but early to middle of the movie that had me laughing so hard, I was crying and holding my side. I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard.
Awesome.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I saw one preview where, and this is just my interpretation of what I saw in that preview. Instead, and this is what I really kind of appreciated about what I saw, it wasn't, again, like, you know, Mr. Incredible gets called out of retirement to go do something. And actually, instead, this time it looks like Elastigirl is the one that gets the pick. And so as opposed to having to have some big, strong man to save the day or whatever, he's left at home to do all the household stuff. And meanwhile, Elastigirl is out going out and kicking ass. Is that about right?
That's you're pretty much dead on with that. It's interesting how they do it. The first Incredibles kind of did focus on Mr. Incredible, kind of, you know, he was the main focus. But this time, you know, as far as the superhero aspect of it goes, this time it's Elastigirl. And there's an interesting dynamic in watching those two characters, how they deal with stuff. Elastigirl's more detective style, whereas, you know, Mr. Incredible's kind of just more Hulk, just like smash everything, ask questions later, you know. I really liked it, yeah. And I really liked how smart they made her, not just as a superhero, but as a, you know, a mom, and she's more the head of the family than Mr. Incredible is, and he's got to step up to be that, and it's interesting to see how he, you know, has to adjust from being the superhero to, you know, taking care of the family so his wife can succeed.
Yeah. Yeah, and I, because here's the thing, when it comes time to do a sequel, there's many different pitfalls that a movie can easily fall into that can just ruin a franchise rather easily, especially when you're dealing with a movie that came out, like, what, almost 20 years ago?
Yeah, 14 years
like
ago,
that? Like,
yeah.
About 14 years ago, so... the longer, we had this discussion about Super Troopers 2. There's so much time that's elapsed. The audience has, you know, at least in some regards, they've been entertained by different genres. The people that saw the first one have grown. The younger generation maybe not having as much of an attraction towards that storyline or whatever. So there's that difficulty that they're going to have to navigate around. And then when it comes to actually writing the plot, some of the pitfalls that can come up would be, okay, so we need to make a sequel. Let's just do just about everything we did in the first one again, only changing the joke slightly, changing the situation slightly, because it worked once, and usually the production company is so terrified of trying anything different that they're clutching so desperately to the original plan that worked, that the audience is like, well, this is garbage because I'm going to know 5 minutes in how the rest of the movie's going to go. And so at that point, you realize they just took your money and you're going to get a movie that you could have written yourself or a five-year-old could have written instead. On the other end of that spectrum, you have a great, you know, basis for the first one. And then they get too creative with the sequel. So they go way too far outside of what made the first one popular. This is a rarity, but it does tend to happen on occasion. And it's a gamble that, if done right, can work. But if more often than not, if they try and get too introspective or too kind of out there, then the original audience is pissed because, you know, well, this is, you know, something completely different that they're going to have to wrap their heads around. The new audience is going to feel even more lost because they maybe didn't see the first one, and so the second one just seems baffling as shit. So you kind of have to balance in between the two. You know you're going to have to bring some stuff around for the sequel that the audience absolutely has been waiting for, and at the same time throw in enough new shit so that it can feel like a standalone film by itself without having to lean too heavily on the original.
And I think Incredibles rides that line just perfectly. They stick to kind of that original theme of, you know, here are these superheroes that are in retirement and they essentially want to get back to being superheroes. You know, so there's that. And that's kind of the crux of the whole story is that, you know, Elastigirl is kind of leading this sort of charge to show the world that superheroes aren't all bad. You know, they got a bad rap because of, you know, some complaints and, you know, this whole mess that was years in the past, you know. So, and they could easily, you know, follow the same jokes or the same storyline, but it's like, you know, I'm treading on dangerous ground now because I don't want to spoil it because the villain in it is so good and it's so well done.
It's made by Pixar, right?
Yes.
Pixar has a really good track record of not screwing up their sequels.
Agreed.
That's really all it comes down to.
And that's why it takes so long to get the sequels from Pixar, you know?
Well, the company originally said they will never do sequels. That's something that they typically don't like to do because sequels have a tendency to flop.
Yeah, and detract, I would say, from... Yeah. And, you know, and a bad sequel can really ruin, like, the original, you know, because, you know, you'll watch the first one over again and be like, oh, this is such a great movie, you know, and then you remember, like, you know, wanting to see a sequel and then seeing the sequel and being like, oh, that's garbage. You know, you get your Terminator 2s, which was beautiful. Aliens was brilliant. You know, a lot of times when you take that extra step, in the sequel to really just ramp it up. And if you have like a rich tapestry of material to pull from, like the Alien franchise did, as well as the Terminator, like comic book type stuff, you know, you've got a well of information that you can dig from, which can be a benefit or it can also be a negative, because if you've got too much to pull from, you don't know what to pull from, and, you know, your diehard fans, you know, are going to be their way, and the new people are going to be their way, whatever. The whole reason why I'm talking about sequels and everything else is because today I finally saw Deadpool 2. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, I saw that a couple days ago, too. When James and I talked last week, I had not seen it. I have since seen it.
Oh, okay, sweet. So the three of us can discuss it in great detail. Well, and the thing was, I walked in and it was like a matinee showing on a Monday. So I'm like, I'm guaranteed that there's going to be almost nobody else in the theater. And I walked in and I had the whole place to my fucking self.
Oh, that's nice.
Which, yeah, and James will tell you, seeing a movie with me in the theaters can be an experience in and of itself. There's usually two shows going on. There's what's on the screen, and it's what's coming out of my fucking mouth. I will say this, though. Since I've stopped drinking, that's changed dramatically. I am much more toned down now. I am not as much of a fucking loudmouth when I go to see a movie. In the theaters now. Some things, though, are just begging for it. And I'm in those moments, I don't care. But I'm not as, you know, Mystery Science Theater 3000, where, like, every scene needs to have a little bit of, you know, sarcasm or whatever. But Deadpool 2 was, in my humble opinion, a perfect sequel. Because it took from the original, it expanded on it, and it punched everything up that needed to be punched up. And it got richer, like the story was richer, the character development, everything I felt was like leveled up at the just right amount so that it leaves the audience being like, okay, so when's the third one coming out? So to speak. I guess I'm the only one. All right, fuck you two.
No, I agree with you. And that's something that Incredibles did really well. There are a couple different types of sequels. There are ones that pick up the story and advance it. Your Star Warses, for instance. There are those that take from the mythology and give you a new story. Aliens, Terminator, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then there are just cash grabs. Super Troopers 2. There's nothing new. They're just going back to the well to try and get that easy, what they feel will be easy cash. And I don't like those.
90% of movies made today.
Yeah. I don't like those sequels. You know, it completely tarnishes what you loved about, like you were saying, Jim, it completely tarnishes what you loved about the original. So many sequels nowadays don't. The entire Marvel universe is advancing a story to get to the next big event. All the original Avengers movies led up to Avengers. The movies between Avengers 1 and Avengers 2 were to advance the story of those characters to lead up to the next Avengers movie. Those are great because they remember where they came from and they give you a whole new story, advance the characters. So when you get the next big event, you know, there's a lot of change that's happened between those movies, and the single movies kind of prepare you in a way. So when, like, so if you didn't see any of the movies between Avengers 1 and Avengers 2, you would have no idea why the characters feel the way they do, why Captain America is so hell-bent against S.H.I.E.L.D. at the moment, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, Tony Stark's technology, he's pissed off because of all the shit that happened with S.H.I.E.L.D. in Captain America 2, you know?
Yeah.
And
I still haven't seen Infinity Wars, so tread lightly.
Well, I'm not saying shit about Infinity Wars because I'm kind of mad at it.
As a lot of people were. My choice was either Deadpool 2 or Infinity War. I'm like, as much as I would really like to see Infinity War, I don't want to leave the theater pissed. I want to leave the theater feeling good. So I opted for Deadpool 2. And man, do I feel like I made the right choice.
Yeah, you chose wisely, my friend.
Yeah. For like 95% of the movie, I was pissed because I'm like, you killed off Anora? You killed off fucking his girlfriend? There's no fucking way. And the whole time I'm just like, no, they're going to find a way. And then sure enough, during the stingers, I'm like, oh, thank God. And the stingers, oh, were so beautiful. Oh, and so hilarious. Walking back into fucking Wolverine and just being like, oh, by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and just shoot this guy in the fuck. And then he shoots Ryan Reynolds. He's like, all right, welcome to the big leagues. And then his brains get splattered all over the script.
Fucking hilarious.
It was,
you're welcome, Canada.
It was essentially Deadpool kills the Marvel universe in stingers, and I loved it.
Just cleaning up timelines.
Yeah. And it's like only he could get away with doing something like that. Like, DC was probably watching that and being like, oh, if only we had a character. And, well, that it was like a double-edged sword, too, because like, when I saw, like, all right, X-Force, this is going to be dope. And like, oh, there's a high wind advisory. I'm like, oh, that's kind of like a weird throwaway joke. And then like 2 minutes later, I am in fucking hysterics because Shatterstar got turned into goo all over fucking the windshield of that helicopter.
My boyfriend was so mad that they killed him. And I'm like, babe, it's a movie.
Yeah.
No, dude, that whole sequence was worth the price of admission because he's built up X-Force. You know, we got it in the trailers and we're like, all right, there's going to be X-Force. And then they just shit on everything and did it so beautifully. It was like, oh, you want an X-Force movie? Here it is. Everyone's dead. And the one that survives is Pete. And you're like, oh, Pete. And then he goes to help his buddy. And he gets...
Sugar Bear.
Sugar Bear, no.
Just walk away, Sugar Bear.
No, we're X-Force.
My only complaint was that Terry Crews did not have enough screen time, I feel. I would have loved to have a little bit. If he could have made it through to the, his whole introductory scene with TJ Miller and Deadpool, and they're just sitting there, and he's just like, I could fuck with your head, and I could do this, I could do that. And I'm like, all right, well, you're in. And the Vanisher, is that a real character?
I don't know, but having Brad Pitt as him in there long enough just to get killed.
Brad Pitt.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Oh, that's
my wife spotted that before I did. I was like, no, I had to go look on articles and stuff because by then, you know, it was coming out. Yeah, Brad, that was his cameo. We're like, oh, fuck, real. He was in Deadpool just long enough to get killed.
He's got like exactly he's like 2.1 seconds of screen time. I'm like, is that fucking Brad Pitt? And then it just cuts away. I'm like, okay, so we can't go back for that. There's too much action going on. And I lucked out in that I had managed to successfully stay away from any spoilers, everything. So watching it in the theater all these, you know, months later, or however long it's been, I was able to see it and be surprised by everything. I forgot that Juggernaut was in it. I had seen a couple of things on like YouTube where it's just like, here are the top things about Juggernaut. I'm like, oh shit. But I steer clear of all that. And I'd forgotten when the movie started, and they're like, oh yeah, there's a monster that lives in the basement of the, you know, the ice house or whatever. And I'm thinking like, who the fuck is it? The Blob? Who the fuck could
I
be down
no
there?
I had no idea who it was either. I had zero clue.
And then I hear knock, knock, and I'm like, oh, shit. And Deadpool's reaction was basically my reaction. He was just like, oh, I've waited so long to have my reflection in your giant silver-chromed helmet as you come walking towards me with a malicious look in your eye. Not now, but, ah, oh, shit, I'm going to tear you in half. That's such a thing that you would do. Oh, so good.
And so, the yeah, baby legs. That, oh, yeah. My God, the baby leg sequence. Just Winnie the Pooh in it there.
That was disturbing. Oh, such a.
It was so disturbing and so wonderful at the same time.
And like the little tiny butt, little butt cheeks in the back. And it's like, oh, this is not getting any better. And the fact that they even pointed out the fact that like Cable is like 5 foot whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Like they didn't try and make him taller than Deadpool was, which I mean, if you read the comics, you know, like fucking Cable's supposed to be like a fucking mountain.
Yeah.
And he's like shorter than Deadpool in the whole thing. But it all worked. It was all perfect. I thought once again fucking the guy that played Cable did a phenomenal job stepping into that role. The makeup, the special effects to make him look like Cable was like so fucking perfect.
It was so like good.
There was nothing I was disappointed in the costuming or the special effects at all. It was just off the charts great.
Well,
Jim, you know who else, the guy who plays Cable, Josh Brolin, you know who else he plays, right?
No.
He plays Thanos in Infinity Wars.
I thought that was Bruce Willis.
Josh Brolin.
What?
God, it does look like him. Oh my God. No, that was Josh Brolin.
So Josh
is
Brolin.
Is it because Thanos is bald?
Well, no, I heard somewhere that it was Bruce Willis that was Thanos.
Hold on, I'll send you guys a meme. Let me find something.
I believe you.
Now that you say it, I see it.
But at one point during Deadpool, he's like, can it Thanos? And I'm like, why is he calling him Thanos? That's weird.
That's why.
Makes sense now, doesn't it?
So Josh Brolin played fucking Bruce Willis as Thanos. That's range. Wow. Like the layers, like Gary Oldman can take a fucking class from that level of onion peeling your character.
Jim, your naivety is so adorable.
That's what's got me this far in life. Yeah, but like I said, I think that Deadpool 2 should be like a master class in how you do a sequel. I know it's a little unfair to do that because the fact that Deadpool has that forgivability of just being able to break that fourth wall. So any rules that a normal movie would have to come up against and kind of work around, he just steps right through those because he can. That's his whole character is. But if you take all that part, all those aspects out and just take the basic plot line, where they're building from and where they went to in the second one, you know, I didn't feel like I was watching the first one over again just with a bigger budget. I felt like I was watching a completely original film that could stand alone. But is made that much richer by the fact that I have been such a diehard fan, and the first one was such an instant classic, even with the restraints and all the headaches that they had to jump through to get that movie onto the screens. And at this point, fucking Ryan Reynolds can just be, there's nothing that he can do at this point that I think would tarnish. He could come out with like 5 sexual assault cases and he'd be like, "Yeah, it's Ryan Reynolds. What are you going to do?" And he just sort of like, sweep it aside.
Well, and
I was talking to my boyfriend on the way home from the movies, and I was like, I was thinking, and I turned to him, I said, who else other than Ryan Reynolds could play that character? And we couldn't think of anybody who could pull it off as well as he does.
No.
No.
Yeah, and I've been a fan of his since when I first saw him in Van Wilder.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy's comic timing is next level. And, you know, he's got, you know, I can say it, I don't give a shit, he's pretty to look at. And he's also very capable of laughing at himself. So he's got all the tools in his toolbox, and he's not afraid to shit on them, not for a self-deprecating kind of a thing, but to let you know that, yeah, I know all this shit too, but I'm also legitimately talented and can pull off, you know. There's some scenes in that fucking movie that straight up got me feeling emotional, like the whole scenes where he's talking to his girlfriend after she's dead. You know, there's a couple parts there that hit you right in the heart. So you go from laughing at the most horrific shit to like 2 minutes prior, and then the next thing you know, you're sitting there and you're feeling real feelings. Well, you know, he's doing that, or when Cable's talking about losing his family and everything else, and he's there to protect him, and then shit like that. I'm like sitting in the theater. I'm like, motherfucker, like this is the range of emotions that so few films can pull off nowadays.
I didn't come here to feel feelings.
What is this shit?
This is bullshit.
Okay, let's think of some. What sequels do we feel really just shit the bed when it came to a good franchise?
Terminator 3.
I would say, Jesus. Is that the one with Alyssa Milano?
What was that one?
What?
Terminator 3.
Oh.
With the Terminatrix?
The hot chick.
I can see, like, we all saw
like
it.
Leather,
okay.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, the first time I saw the previews for that, I was convinced it was Alyssa Milano that was playing that. I'm like, oh, that's ridiculous. And then I saw, like, more about it. I'm like, oh, that's not Alyssa Milano. Though at that point, I realized, like, oh, this movie could have probably been better if she played that character.
Mortal
Kombat Annihilation.
The absolute crux of Terminator 3, the storyline, would have been great if they'd spent another year developing the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that seems to be the case with a lot of these things, but people are like, rush to market so much because they want the cash grab.
Yeah, it's complete cash grab.
It's just story and acting and everything falls by the wayside and suffers for it.
No, it's totally true. I would say Toy Story 2 was probably my least favorite. And even though it did give a good addition to the character of Woody, I felt like, I don't know, it just felt clunky and didn't quite gel as well as I'd say like Toy Story 3. Like Toy Story 3 really kind of brought it back all the way around, I feel, for me. But yeah, I guess if there's just something about Toy Story 2 that just felt like it was a rewarming of the first one with a couple of extra, you know, very wooden, you know, cursory characters that just sort of like, just didn't quite feel like it had the chutzpah that the first and the third did.
See, I feel like if the story of Toy Story 2 came after 3, it would have worked better. Essentially, because like Toy Story 1 is kind of like, you know, the realization that they're toys and they're only there, you know, to bring kids joy. And then Toy Story 2 is essentially like, you know, kind of, it was kind of a finger point at like collectors, like they're toys. They're not, you know, they're meant to be played with and enjoyed, not, you know, kept in boxes on shelves, you know. And then the story of Toy Story 3 is essentially when toys kind of fulfill their purpose and the kid grows up and doesn't need them. The toys still don't lose their value because there's another kid out there that would enjoy them, you know. And I feel if you flop the stories of 2 and 3, that whole story arc would have been better served. Or maybe not.
It'd be kind of hard, though. It'd be kind of hard, though, considering, like, the third one really was... I feel like it should have been the end. I know they're making a fourth one now for some mysterious reason.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, there's a fourth on the way.
Production.
Like, if they did a spin-off where, like, they took some new toys or made it retro and, like, I guess fucking Robot Chicken has pretty much, you know, clobbered that entire arena. You couldn't really go with, you know, like, Transformers and G.I. Joe, stuff like that. The other sequel, though, that I see that's coming out soon, maybe not soon, but the second Wreck-It Ralph movie.
Yeah.
That's coming out. It looks really fucking fantastic. And looks like it's going to be kind of on par with a good sequel. Before I forget this, the whole reason why I brought up Incredibles 2 was I was watching the first one again. It was on TV. And it dawns on me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's the only Pixar movie where... they straight up fucking kill people. Like, there's a lot of Syndrome's henchmen that the family Incredible straight up destroy. That little boy killed a bunch of fucking people.
Oh, he's a psychopath. Dash is a straight up psychopath. Yeah, he's a serial killer in the making. Because he kills them and then he laughs about it.
That was because of their own poor flying, you guys.
Yeah, like the...
Yeah, but he laughs about it.
He lands on that one thing, like, hovercraft or whatever.
I never thought about it that way. That's really funny.
Yeah. Can you think of any other Pixar movie where, like it wasn't like, oh, their parachute popped out and they made it to safety, which they could have done. They could have easily spared those henchmen's lives, but they didn't. Like, that part where Dash lands on that dude's hover thing or whatever the fuck it is, and he just straights up, like, jaw jacks him a bunch of times. And he's like, oh, about to fly into a mountain later. And then the guy just straight up explodes. Like, he didn't escape. He didn't make it home to his family. He died splattered onto the side of that fucking mountain. Same with the other ones that were in the jungle. I'm like, damn. I'm like, watching this again, I'm like, this movie's a lot darker. Maybe that's why I loved it so much the first time I saw it. Yeah, the Incredibles are fucking, they got blood on their hands, man. That's why they wear red suits.
Yeah, you can't see the blood that way.
That's funny.
No, Jim, I think you're right. I think that's the only movie that anyone has ever, like, truly died in.
Yeah.
And that's not... They're not even showing, like, the collateral casualties when they're fighting in the city. You know, there's all that destruction.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way they saved everyone.
Yeah, they didn't evacuate that city. That fucking ship landed and just started causing mayhem right then and there. Captain Mr. Incredible's getting thrown through buildings. That, coupled with the fact that they didn't just, like, have, like, an explosion and, like, you know, you kind of, or the viewer themselves is left to kind of ponder or not what happened to said henchmen. The part where Mr. Incredible's being hunted down by the second giant robot. He's hiding in that cave, and he actually hides behind the bones of another dead hero. Like, that's some dark, dark shit.
Yeah, yeah. No, other heroes died in the making of that
movie.
To
hide behind so he didn't get discovered.
Yeah, good old Gazer Beam's bones. No, it's Incredibles is a really dark, yeah. Let's take a second to finally remember all the people who died in Incredibles.
Yeah, I think that's maybe why the second one took so long to come out, was they had to settle like all these, like, you know, suits with like the family of all the dead henchmen that were like the collateral damage to the city. You know, they didn't have that in A Bug's Life. You know, a bunch of bugs die. Who gives a shit?
They're bugs. You know, yeah. Gives a, no one cares.
A bunch of hoppers die.
Well, here, okay, here's what I find funny. So, yeah, you're right. They killed a bunch of people in that movie, and no one batted an eye. Yet, Man of Steel, when he's fighting Zod, people flipped their shit and came out with actual, like, tallies as to how many people died. I'm like, oh my god. Either way, it's a fucking movie.
Yeah.
Calm
yeah.
down. Like, but, you know, a kid's movie. They killed a bunch of people.
And you cheered for it.
And they do it in a humorous way, so yep. it takes the sting off the fact that at least two henchmen, and how many superheroes did, when Mr. Incredible's like hacking into the computer and shows how many different models of that machine and how many superheroes they killed in order to get that machine?
Yeah.
Like, there's a straight up body count on that computer of superheroes. And no one says anything.
Or when
superhero lives matter.
Edna Mold, the.
Oh yeah, yeah. Exactly. They showed all the deaths of the superheroes from the capes.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Think about it. Those were fucking like the what's her name? The chick that the woman superhero that saves the plane, and they get sucked into the jet engine. There was a little kid that watched their hero get sucked into a fucking turbine and blew up. And then did that plane land safely? We don't know. No one knows. Like, I shit you not, like, the fucking Incredibles side story, I think, could have very well been, like, The Watchmen. Like, that level of body count and visceral death that took place.
It might be because of my very morbid upbringing, but it didn't even occur to me, any of that.
No, it was totally fine with you, yeah.
I was like, oh, cool. Death and destruction and mayhem.
Kill as many supers as you want. I don't care. Yeah, I'm loving this. Jesus, Jim, you've opened up a can of worms.
That somehow managed to stay alive.
You have so opened up a can of worms. Like, that's a dark, dark. That's like 1989 Batman dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why we loved it. I miss movies like that.
Yeah, because no one talks about it, but in 1989,
can't be a hero without getting blood on your hands.
Michael Keaton's Batman killed people in that movie. Like,
for real. Like, yeah, exactly. They didn't just, you know, roll over or respawn or their parachute opens. Toy Story, you know, toys never die. You can drive a nail through the head of, you know, a toy. It still works. You can rip them apart and weld them back together. Like, Sid was a sociopath. I mean, we're not even going to get into that.
Oh, straight up, yeah.
You know, but, you know, toys, you know, that's one thing. But you look at the sheer loss of life that the Incredibles franchise has wrought. Not just, you know, not just the henchmen, but also the heroes that died. And like you said, the collateral damage. And what happens at the end? Everyone comes out and they're clapping for the heroes. Yay, I didn't die. I think that's why they were clapping. It wasn't that the day was saved. It was like, oh, I survived another superhero clash in my hometown.
No, that's exactly why they were clapping. Yeah, I survived. I lived. Yay.
So you put that in your superhero pipe and smoke it.
So bringing up Sid and all the, like, the toys that he mangled, I'm thinking, you know, like, what fresh hell is this? And I'm thinking of that briefly reminds me of Pinhead.
Hmm.
Okay.
And, you know, like, his henchmen and, like, all the weird things that happened to it. Well, you know, you've got all these creatures that are pulled apart, mashed back together, you know, and you have so many wonderful things to show you. So it just kind of, so reminded me of Pinhead.
Well. Pinhead and the Cenobites were brought about by what? The toy box, the puzzle box, which was a toy.
Putting it all together.
Seriously, we're fucking kicking over some stones that may or may not, or should not be overturned. But you know,
all, if, all, all of a sudden we've got black bags going over our heads, and then we were all sitting in a room with a light shined at us. Like,
what do you know? What do you know about Pinhead and the Pixar universe?
Well, nothing, man. Nothing. I swear.
It was just a theory for a comedy show.
Disney owns just about fucking everything at this point. And so, do they own, I think Disney owns...
Oh,
Pixar.
I can't wait for the Disney Hellraiser movie.
They're merged. They're...
Pinhead pulls off his mask and it's a Disney princess. It's like every Disney princess mashed together and sewn together.
So, seriously. Like, Human Centipede?
Disney's this Human Centipede or Pixar?
Pixar is a Human Centipede. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they could make another. Maybe that's what Toy Story 4 is going to be. Sid sews together all these toys. And kind of like, you know, like
Woody.
Woody's mouth
Woody
is sewn
Buzz
to Buzz's
mouth.
Ass. I'm not saying I want it to happen. I'm saying it could potentially happen, and I would give them money to see it.
here's a Toy Story centipede for you. Mr. Potato Head, Rex, and Slinky Dog.
Well, Potato Head would be, you know, his mouth comes off anyway, and that does frequently throughout the series. So I would have to say Bo Peep would be one. Yep. She could be, she'd probably be in the middle somewhere. Yeah, you gotta have Buzz. Buzz and Woody are attached. You can pick and choose who you want to have ass to mouth. That's up to you.
They're already
choose
attached
your own,
anyway.
Choose your own night. Yeah. Yeah, so this episode took a turn. Started off talking about, like...
This escalated quickly.
Yeah.
And awkwardly.
But just saying,
only
you think
because
about
the audio cut out.
I think that's the government at work there trying to silence the truth about really what's going on in the Pixar universe. And, you know, it's food for thought.
Of all the things they could silence, that's what they choose.
Yeah. Six of one, half a dozen of the other. But I think this slumbering to a halt, I think, is a good place to.
Yeah, I think we grinded to a halt just about perfectly. So with that, we will bid you a fond farewell and enjoy your Pixar movies now that we've darkened them for you.
And enjoy listening to Jim P.
stay after the credits for a fantastic stinger. Or Piddler, if you will.
Oh, maybe it stung when it happened. Who knows?
I'll never tell.
No,
my,
but you...
My dick's, what do they call that? Secret identity will be maintained.
To protect its innocence.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.
Buddy, how are you?
Not too bad. How about you guys?
All right. Jim, are you going to the bathroom?
Well, I had my priorities in order. I got you guys on the phone before I took a piss.
Remember, if you're shaking it more than 10 times, you're playing with it.
I can get it done in 3.
Jesus, you really were taking a piss.
I know, I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, man.
I thought it was like washing dishes or something.
Yeah, right?
With my dick? Who's the weirdo now?
At least it's not video.